Welcome to Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. We're all about figuring out what pleases Christ, doing the next right one thing, being intentional with our lives, hearing stories of what you're doing, how you're moving in that direction. What one thing are you focused on? The power of doing the next right one thing. What is it? You think about it. What one thing do you want more than anything as you look at the next 30 days, 60 days, next 6 months? More than anything, what's one thing? Here's what I know. If you want more of that one thing, you're going to have less of other things to make that happen. Our phone line's open. John's going to be taking your calls here, and then Sally's going to call you back, and then I'm going to talk to you. So what is it, one thing that you really have on your heart? Just say, hey, we're asking God for this during these next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, next 6 months. And I want to help you think it through. Give me a call, 888-888-1717. Is the phone number, 888-888-1717. And I've just met a new friend on the phone here, Eva from Arizona. Just talked to her briefly before coming on the air. Eva, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Randy?
Good. I appreciate your call. It says you've decided your one thing has been just one of the things we talk about here, pretty much declutter your life and slow it down a little bit.
Absolutely.
What have you done?
Well, about 8 months ago, actually last summer, we flew out to Arizona to just check out Arizona and consider if this was the place for us while we vacationed. And in our hearts, we felt that God led us to a place called Tucson, which was Oro Valley area. We did some research. My husband checked it out. And we took a drive into Oro Valley with our two kids, our little ones. We have a 9-year-old Mia and Max, who is 12. And we decided that we wanted a change of lifestyle. We wanted to slow down and just be more present and not live a rat race life. We were in California. I was always driving on the freeway.
Enough said. Anybody who's been there. Yeah. Now, did you live in one of the big cities of California?
We lived in the Central Valley. We lived in Stockton, close to Sacramento.
Okay.
And I commuted every day, and I was on the road in my job in sales. I worked for a title company. And so God just put it in our hearts that we prayed about it. We said, if you want to open up these doors for us and help us make the move, then just show us and open them, you know, open them up so wide we can't close them. And it took place, and in a matter of 4 months, we put our house on the market, it sold, and we processed everything and made a transfer.
Oh. So what was that rat race like? What was it costing you? What was the trade-off, as it were? I mean, you were living in a beautiful area, obviously, in California and all of that, but what was the trade-off? What was it that didn't work for you?
Well, you know, sometimes bigger things and more money and everything larger on the larger scale is not always better. Mm-hmm. And what it came down to was prioritizing what was most important to us. And really, at the end of the day, what was most important was, number one, being with Christ. Number two, our family, centering our children and our marriage first. And just being able to enjoy each other and that lifestyle here, to be able to go hiking and get out and do things and be present with our kids, was what was most important.
So did you actually downsize as far as just the expense, size of home, all that kind of thing, your budget and everything?
All that took place. We were able to sell our home. We put it on the market, sold it for top dollar. We were able to pay off my husband's vehicle, pay off debt, and be able to buy a beautiful home with 360 mountain views in Oro Valley and just be at peace with a great neighborhood and great people.
Well, you've been blessed. Are you happy? Good decision? Declutter your life? Get focused?
We're happy. The kids are safe. They feel they've never felt safer in a location, and we feel very blessed, and we know God has big things in store for us, and he wants us to share our story.
That's good. Well, you've done that with a lot of people who are thinking maybe, you know, maybe they don't have a, you know, big home to sell from California and move to someplace, but you know, it might be right where they are. They're saying, hey, we've had enough. You know, we just got too much stuff. We got too many things that get in the way. And here's one of the things that we teach. If you've been listening here for a while, Eva, you know that intentional living is you've got to make a decision. You've got to declare what that intention is. And then one of the step three, is to declutter your life. And that's what you've done. You've said, hey, I can't get what what I know God has better for me until I have less of the things that I know aren't the best for me. And that's really intentional living. It's really what
thank
it is.
You.
Hey,
we
thank
feel,
you.
We feel less stressed. I'll tell you that, Dr. Randy.
Thank you for calling. I'm glad you're listening.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Have
All
a
right.
great day.
And
God bless you.
Enjoy your views in beautiful Oro Valley, Arizona. You know, that's really one of the steps of intentional living. And listen, this is a truth. We in America, we know it. When we hear, I did the math the other day. In fact, I have the number somewhere. The number of storage lockers, you know, these external units that you rent. I don't know. It was like 20 million units or something available in the country. And two-thirds of us can't get our car in the garage because of stuff. Look in your basement, you know, what's down there other than the sump pump. A lot of storage, perhaps. A lot of stuff. The average child in America has 238 toys. Research shows they play with about 12 of them. A lot of things that can get in the way. If you want something better, you got to get rid of it. Here's a fact. You have finite space in your brain, in your mental capacity, in your emotional spaces, in your time and your resources for the things that are most important, God-honoring, when those finite spaces are filled with things you don't need. And boy, is that true in my garage. All right. And Donna says, amen to that. So do something about it, she's thinking. All right. What's your one thing? What is it? It could be decluttering your life. It may be something that God's placed on your heart you really want to pursue for your marriage, your family, for your own health. What is it? Your one thing. 888-888-1717. I'm live. The phone line's open. Join in. Declare that one thing right now. It'll make a difference just saying it, what that one thing is. 888-888-1717.
With my first cup of coffee.
First thing at the office, before staff meeting.
When do you go to the Intentional Living Facebook page?
I look at it every morning on my elevator ride to the office. Really?
Each morning right after I drop off the kids.
Have you visited the Intentional Life page on Facebook today? Stay intentional with words from Dr. Randy, comment on wall posts, and share about what's going on in your life, too. And be sure to share the encouragement with someone you care about. Go to facebook.com/intentionalliving and click like.
My husband won't go to church with me. Should I go anyway? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. And my answer is pretty clear, yes, but. But don't go to church with an attitude about your husband. I'd encourage you to love your husband before you go and love him after you get home and pray for him while you're there. Don't preach to him or prod or come home with all the good news of the service that he missed. Frankly, that may likely push him away. And whatever you do, don't make it a competitive experience for your husband. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in his life. It's not your job. You're not the Holy Spirit. Pray for him, encourage him, enjoy your church and your fellowship, and whatever you do, be there for your husband and love him intentionally. That's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
You know, the Intentional Living Minute is recorded on audio and also video. It goes on Facebook every morning, Monday through Friday. If you'd like it to come to your news feed, hey, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com. You know that, right? /intentionalliving. Or you can come to our website, theintentionallife.com, and get there through our website. And like the page, and what'll happen every day, just 60 seconds of encouragement on video coming right to your news feed. Today, we're talking about doing the next right one thing in terms of the power of doing one thing, which got me thinking about one of the steps of intentional living is decluttering your life. We do have finite space in our finances, our time, our spirit, when it comes to all the things we fill our lives with. And so if you want more of the good things, if you want more of the right things, there's a trade-off. You need to get rid of the things, the one things in life that are holding you back from really glorifying Christ. And, you know, we were just talking to Eva in Arizona about the decluttering her life, which reminded me of a caller that I had just, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, Melody from Michigan, on this thing of decluttering. So take a listen to see how you can relate to Melody who called and shared how she's trying to declutter her life.
I have two storage units that I want to be able to clean out. It's a big job, so I don't know if 30 days is going to be enough.
How long has the stuff been in there?
Actually, it's been in there since October of 2016 when my husband and I were planning to move. And then he passed away very suddenly. And so since August of 2017, I've avoided going into that area to really go through all that and to deal with the emotions involved and of 33 years of marriage. And but it's been there all this time, and obviously I don't need everything, and it's just stuff.
So it's really more of an emotional thing than it is overload of just doing it.
Definitely.
But it's something you feel you're prepared now and ready to get done.
I really am. Every time I send out a bill, I just think, you know, do I really even want most of those things, or are there things that I can pass along now easier than I could to my adult children as keepsakes? And what do I want? And where is my future going? And I don't feel like I can move toward the future with my life in storage.
Wow. Isn't that powerful? I mean, that statement really kind of lingered in my mind, my life in storage. Some of us live like that, don't we? You know, you think about things that can weigh you down. When you have a goal of one thing that really God's placed on your heart, maybe God's placed on your heart that you say, you know, to really honor him, we want to get this thing out of debt. We maybe everything but the house. We got to get these credit cards paid off. You can do that, but you have to be intentional in the process. Doing it is not difficult. I mean, the formula is just a math problem. It's the intentionality, being intentional, that is the first step. Or it could be in a relationship. You know that there's a breach in a relationship that just needs to be fixed. And it's saying, I'm going to set aside in anger or bitterness or criticism, be able to break down a wall so I can start to develop a better relationship. It all begins by doing the next right one thing. There are so many things in our life that can hold us down and keep us from really finding that kind of freedom. So let me ask you this. What's one thing that you could do in the next 30 days that you'd really focus on? We'll be praying with you about it. What is it? One thing that you say, that's what, more than anything, I'd like in my life to see happen. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. Yvette in Georgia, what's your one thing?
My one thing is to not have a critical eye and heart toward the lost.
So when you see lost people, what kind of thoughts do you want to get rid of?
Thoughts like, why is her hair that color? Or why is she wearing those shorts that short? Or why is his hair that long and he won't get a haircut, stuff like that.
So you really kind of focus on the external stuff.
Yes.
How would you look at people with new eyes?
I do remember reading that God, he doesn't love us according to what we look like or don't look like. He loves us according to what he's created us to be.
In fact, Yvette, the scripture says that we look on the outward appearance while God looks on the heart. Yeah. So when you see someone in these next 30 days and they got long hair or they, you know, something that you might be critical of, maybe something like, you know, as I look at this person, God made them unique, made them different. I wonder what God is doing in their lives, and then pray for them.
Yes.
Is that something you can do every day?
That is something I'm going to do every day.
Good for you. That is intentional living, doing the next right one thing. And it begins by decluttering your life. The fact is, if you want something better, you want to honor God in your life, you want something that you don't have today. I don't mean, please understand, I'm talking about stuff. I'm talking about things that really matter deep in your life, more peace, more hope. You know, less stress over finances or relationship problems. To do that, the reality is you're going to have trade-offs. If you want more of the good things that God has, you got to have less of the things that you've collected in your own doing in life, frankly. 888-888-1717, what one thing? What is it for you? Sue is in Arizona. Sue, welcome to the program. What's your one thing?
Hi, Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Mine is, I know you guys are talking about declutter and a little bit of financial situation stuff. I've been in a custody battle for two of my previous foster kids. And this is like the seventh month that I go back on the 23rd for another court date, and I ran up about $7,000 in debt. But my main thing is I'm not really worried about the debt. At some point I'll get out. But how do I leave those kids at God's feet knowing that he'll do the right thing?
Well, Sue, I'm going to pray with you in a minute, but let me just share this. And I don't know your situation and all the legal things, but there are things where we have to stand and fight. There are times you have to stop and you say, hey, my life is really full of a issue right now, but it's got to be dealt with in a way that's going to honor Christ. And then there are times when we hang on to things, we realize we got to set them down and let them go. And that's something that you're going to have to allow God to speak to you. And of course, your legal team and all the things you're going through. But I will say this, no matter if you're in the midst of a challenge that you can't control like this, or if you're in a situation where you feel like you have some control over it, we still have to be able to lay it down, because the Bible says, cast your care upon me. That's what the Bible teaches us. And that really literally means to set it down. And so I'm holding on to a bottle of water here in my studio, and I'm thinking, all I have to do is lay it down, and all of a sudden the weight is off my hand. And to be able to say to God, in a sense, Sue, God, this is your battle, not mine. I'm laying out everything that I can do. I'm here. I want to do the next right one thing. I want the best for these children, but it's going to be you that has to intervene. You're the one that has to move and change the hearts of the people involved. So instead of hanging on to it in worry and fretting and a need to control, to be able to do the best you can, pray about it, and then be able to lay it down. That's a hard thing to do, Sue, but is that something you can do and willing to do?
Well, like things, I don't have a problem laying in God's feet, but these are children.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying you can still, here's what I believe, and I don't want to oversimplify your situation because I know it's very complex, but even in the battle, even when we're in the midst of a battle, something we feel we have to stand for, we don't have to carry the whole load ourselves. We got the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And when the scripture says, cast your care on me, that's what he literally means. You know, it's not throwing it, it's laying it down, saying, God, this is yours. I'll fight the battle. I'll be here. I'll do the next right one thing. But when I go to bed at night and I close my eyes, I know that ultimately it's got to be in your hands and I'm going to trust you. Boy, that's a tough thing to do. Would it be all right with you, Sue, if I prayed for you?
Oh, yes, sir.
Lord, I don't know what's going on in this whole situation with Sue, but boy, I sure hear her heart. I know you do too. She loves those kids and she wants the best for them. And we got to believe you do too. We know that you have something good in store for those who are willing to trust you. And I just pray that you'll give Sue patience, give her comfort, give her peace in her life. And to know that there are things she can do and things she can't do, that she'll do the things she can, the things she can't, that she will continue to just put them down and allow you to work. We ask for that, and we do ask the best for those kids. Whatever the situation is, it'll be in your perfect will. In Christ's name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue, and I know people will be praying for you around the country today, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
You know, when we think about this thing of decluttering your life, I just want to make it clear. There are times you have to hang on to something because the battle is there and you've got to fight it. And it's got to be something that you stand for. When I think about decluttering, I think about the things that we carry mentally, spiritually, financially, stuff. That's the first thought, right? Stuff that we hang on to that keeps us from something better that God has for us. It's a trade-off. More of one thing, you can have less of others. What's your one thing for 30 days? What would you like to see happen? Sue wants to see a resolution of something good for those kids. That's her one thing. Pray for her. What's your thing? 888-888-1717. Your calls and more in a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore, his name was Levi. Sometimes when life isn't fair, you and I can do things to try to make up the difference. Some of us are still competing with people in our lives because we want to try to measure up to be equal with them. And here's what happens with Leah. She spends her life having babies, thinking in the process, that's going to make my husband treat me fairly. And it didn't make any difference.
That's an excerpt from the month's teaching from Intentional Living, When Life Isn't Fair. The problem is, we know it isn't fair, but we act sometimes as though it is supposed to be. We want to make it more fair, and we want to make it more just, but at the same time, we know that life will never be fair. It's part of the human condition. This teaching was created for one purpose, to help those of you who wrestle with this when life isn't fair, when you see things that just don't add up, and boy, there's a lot of that today. How do you handle it biblically? It is our gift today to you as you share your best gift with the Intentional Living Ministry to help us continue to move forward with what God has given us. Ask for it when you share that gift at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. And members, monthly members, it comes to you automatically with our thanks for your support. Like Renee, who's just joined us recently in Phoenix. Thank you, Renee. Deborah from New Mexico recently joined us. $1 a day, $30 a month. Thank you. It's coming your way as well, Deborah. Here's Margie in Tucson. Thank you, Margie. And Stephen in Mesa, Arizona. $1 a day in support. Thank you. Come and join us. Your best gift. We'll get it to you. Join us monthly, and it'll automatically come every month, a brand new teaching. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and we appreciate it. Just join us. We're talking about the doing the next right one thing, the power of one thing. What one thing in the next 30 days would you like to see happen in your life? And to see that happen in your life, there's going to be a trade-off. You're going to have to get rid of some of the lesser things, and that's really what we're hearing today. So give us a call. We'll get you on. By the way, we're going to stay here after the end of the half hour and just continue to talk. I'm here to talk. What's on your heart when it comes to this living intentionally? Maybe you have a question on this you want to ask me. I'll stay here and talk, and we'll record it for a later program. 888-888-1717 is the number. And Nora, welcome to Intentional Living. How are you today?
Fantastic.
How are good, you? Good. Doing well. What prompted you to call about this power of one thing?
Because I grew up poor and I went through a divorce. I had this sense of lack, and so I held on to a lot of things and sometimes even hobbies, thinking, oh, I might need that or I might want to go back to it. But going through this last 2.5 years after the divorce, God and I have worked together, and I don't feel the sense of lack anymore, so I don't have the need to hold on to things. It's made me feel the release and the freedom to get rid of things I'm not using and I'm not doing anymore and don't want anymore.
So you really concluded that you hung on to stuff that you didn't need because it helped you feel a little more in control.
And secure because of... that I may not have the money for it, and I always had the sense of lack because we didn't have enough food growing up, and just so I had to have a lot of food in the pantry, and as well as even clothes. I'm like, okay, if you're a size 18, why hold on to a size 8? You make it down to a 10 or 12, but 8 maybe not, and just to get rid of those clothes instead of holding on to them, or hobbies, like I don't sew anymore, so I might as well sell all that material because I'm not sewing anymore. or clowning. I used to clown, so I've sold some of my clown outfits and leather clown shoes and put the money towards a plane ticket to go see my grandkids in Brazil.
Wow. That was a good thing. What have you learned about yourself going through this process? What was that like?
Just realizing, I worked through a lot of codependent issues, and now my identity and self-worth is truly in God. I thought it was before, because I got saved when I was 12, and I went to school and tried to, Sunday school and church and tried to learn. But I realized through the divorce, I was really putting my husband in God's place and looking to him for approval and love and my self-worth. And going through the divorce really showed me it wasn't in God. Mm. Now it's in God. I don't have that need for everyone's approval. Of course, you want people to like you, but if they don't, that's okay. That's their problem, not mine. Don't let them make it my problem.
Yeah.
And just made me more free and confident in who I am, and that God loves me and accepts me and helps me no matter what stage I'm in, or if I've been right or wrong in different situations, that he still loves me, and I don't have that sense of lack anymore. Mm. And that's just a word I've grabbed onto that really described how I felt, was, oh, I need that. But through the last, even the last year and a half, God's provided for me financially, like a new roof through insurance. And I didn't need $14,000 to replace my roof.
Yeah. Well, listen, Nora, you're an example, a living example, breathing example of what it means to live intentionally. I mean, you're simply saying, I'm going to trust God. You have awareness. You're aware of why you were hanging on to some things in your life. And today we kind of landed on this thing of decluttering your life and the trade-offs. And you traded off some of the stuff in the garage to buy a ticket to go visit your family in Brazil. It seemed like a pretty good trade-off, didn't it? Listen, this is intentional living. We have one mission, and that is to fulfill what Scripture says when it says to figure out what is it that pleases Christ, and then do that every day. Not out of a sense of obligation or bondage, but in freedom to pursue those good things. That's trading off what's not so good, of less value, for the things that matter most. We're out of here, but I'll tell you what, we're not off talking to you. We're off the air, but we're going to be talking to you off air as you continue to call. I'd love to hear, what is one thing that God's teaching you? What's one thing you'd like to see in your life in the next 30 days? What's one thing you'd declare for the next 30 days for your life? Give me a call, 888-888-1717. We'll see you back on the radio next time.